We have begun a summer teaching series called Pursuing Jesus as we think about the critical importance of what we call discipleship. And we were reminded that discipleship is not one aspect of the Christian life or a series of classes that you take, although that's important as you begin your faith and continue on it. But it really encapsulates all of what the Christian faith and life is all about. Today we want to talk specifically about a message I've titled Urgent Discipleship. And over the next couple of weeks, we will be looking exclusively at Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62 is the passage that we would like to pay a particular attention to this morning in our message on urgent discipleship. Luke, as the author of his great work, both the book of Luke and Acts, it was actually one work, two parts, meticulously researching and recording after interviewing witnesses, guided along by the Holy Spirit, has captured for us his gospel in the book of Acts. Here we have three critical encounters, conversations, albeit very brief, with people who have heard something that has perked their interest regarding who Jesus is. And here we have it. You can follow along on the screen or from where you are at home or here at church in your Bibles. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Three conversations, three actual encounters of three people meeting Jesus. What a privilege. Out of all the human beings that have lived throughout history of earth, here are three individuals that actually met Jesus. They probably heard about his fame, his miracles, his teaching. Something perked their interest enough that they sought him out. Two out of the three approached Jesus and expressed their desire to know more about him, to follow him. One of them was approached by Jesus in conversation. Jesus initiated it. All three would-be disciples were trying to negotiate what discipleship could look like in their lives. Here in this passage, we have a very interesting situation with the original 12 having been already chosen. 72 disciples will eventually follow Jesus, and these encounters happen very early on after the choosing of the original 12. What can we learn from them about urgent discipleship? From last week, we talked about how discipleship really is not just a one-time moment or event, but it is a lifelong journey to the day that we lay our head to rest and give up our spirit, we are on this journey of discipleship. I don't think it's contradictory when we think about that long-term view of discipleship, and also moments when we encounter Jesus experientially through his word, through a working of his spirit, through particular circumstances of our lives, through meeting of different individuals, believers, to ministry opportunities. Jesus is always meeting us. He's always pursuing us. And there are times when we experience this that there is a sense of urgency involved in the midst of this long-term, lifelong journey of life and faith. Some of you here at church, listening to our live stream or online later on, are in that very space and place where God is inviting you to urgent discipleship. Three things we'll briefly hit. Urgent discipleship, according to our passage, is at times risky. Secondly, urgent discipleship is often inconvenient. And thirdly, urgent discipleship is often quite demanding. First of all, we see here in this first individual approaching Jesus out of his excitement, exuberance. He heard about him. He approaches him. I will follow you wherever you go. As we think about the riskiness of discipleship. But Jesus, instead of saying, all right, that's great, how encouraging, let's go. Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Urgent discipleship is always marked by some kind of risk. There is some level of uncertainty, and Jesus wanted to let this would-be disciple know this. Uncertainty from our perspective, but certainly not from God's. The older that we get in our lives, the more uncertain and unstable our world becomes, such as this time of this COVID pandemic that we are living in. As much of our nation is in the grips of the second wave, so many aspects of our lives have been totally upended. We as human beings crave security, safety, stability, certainty. Being a parent of young children, I certainly resonate with that. But let us keep in mind as we look at this first encounter and we think about discipleship, that a disciple of Christ is always on a journeying, moving trajectory in their lives. We're always moving forward by faith, trusting in God's character and his leading. Often leading us to spaces and places that are uncertain, that are unknown, and beyond our control. I reflect back as my children last night at the kitchen table were going through my old photo albums. All of you probably have collections of not just digital photos, but actual physical photos, some going back to my parents' childhood in black and white. And as I realized, as I'm getting older, that I got very excited to take out all these old photo albums, and I became my parents in that moment, where I was so proud of showing them all these pictures, and they were laughing and shocked at how I used to look, and, "Daddy, you actually were not that bad looking. You had more hair back then. Oh my goodness," and so on and so forth. And as I saw these pictures with them, explaining to them just the history of my life, tracing back from growing up in Chicago and moving to the East Coast to Philadelphia and then down to the Deep South and Houston, Texas, back to Chicago, and now here in Connecticut. And I'm not saying necessarily that as a disciple of Christ, you're going to move every couple of years physically. You might. But in my life, I've seen how God often has called me to pick up and go, always breaking my parents' heart, always seeing my mom in tears, having to say goodbye to her son year after year in this journey of faith that God has called me. And so often it is to a time, a situation of often uncertainty that I have encountered in my life. We don't like that uncertainty. We don't like taking risks. But as I reflect back, and as I challenge you to as well, that every great experience that you've learned about yourself and others and about God often has involved risk, stepping into the unknown, often with great fear and trepidation, always resulting in a greater knowledge of who you are and who God is. Discipleship is a journey that often requires great risk, not just for the first time, but throughout the course of your lifelong journey. If you have lived without any kind of risk-taking in your life, you have to question your discipleship. Jesus, to this would-be disciple, immediately reminded him, if you follow me, you may not know where you're going to lay down your head at night. You might be a traveler. You might be homeless. You might have to uproot and move. You won't be comfortable. But Jesus was trying to communicate the critical importance of understanding that that is an aspect to living by faith and following Christ in urgent discipleship. Urgent discipleship is often risky. Secondly, urgent discipleship is often quite inconvenient. Jesus said to another man, "Follow me. Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And in this seemingly shocking statement, when I first encountered this, I couldn't believe how rude Jesus was and insensitive. "Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God." How seemingly cruel of Jesus that he would call someone to just leave their family and leave their father unburied to go and do ministry for him. Go figure. But what's actually going on here, as important in Jewish culture it is to honor one's father and mother, and in ancient Greek culture, it was the same. To give honor to your elders, especially to your mother and your father, especially in a moment of death, and having to bury them with honor. This would-be disciple that was actually addressed by Jesus in this case, he said to another man, "Follow me." If the father had already died, he would have been so busy with the year-long preparations and ceremonies and services and prayers that he would not have been able to be free to have met Jesus. Scholars believe that what he was actually saying is, "Jesus, I think you're pretty cool. I think your teaching is great. I do have interest. But it's just not a good time for me. Let me go home first. Live out my days with my father, one day he will pass. Once everything is taken care of, then let me consider following you. That's, in actuality, what he was saying. Someday after my father has passed on and everything is taken care of, then let me consider following you. You see, discipleship, urgent discipleship, is often quite inconvenient. It doesn't often fit into the plan and trajectories of our lives. It's often quite disruptive. For this would-be disciple, he wanted a delay until his family obligations were taken care of, after his father had passed, after the year-long burial ceremonies. And that is important to do. But when the call of Jesus comes, there has to be an urgent discipleship taking place. That's what Jesus was trying to communicate. Not by first seeing if God could fit into your plans or your timetable or your family situation, but it is always the other way around. We're not promoting neglecting your family, not loving your children, your wife, your spouse. We're not saying that. But Jesus is trying to communicate that often in following Jesus, you will find it not fitting into your schedule and timetable. It will sometimes be incredibly inconvenient. During this time of COVID, many of you are watching from home or outside in a park. Some are gathered here. With so many things shut down and family vacations on hold and reunions postponed, it takes a lot of intentionality to stay connected, to grow your faith, to hear the words of Jesus, to continue in your discipleship. It's a bit inconvenient. For those with younger children, to drive them to Sunday school or to youth group or to ministry events, it can often get in the way of sports and academics and activities and family trips and vacations. And almost always the first thing to go is the ministry. Following Jesus and leading your family to Christ often is inconvenient. God often sends people who are in desperate need that he desires for you to be used to touch them, to encourage them, and bring the light and love of Jesus. But often that can be inconvenient because we want to accomplish so much and be productive. People are seen as an annoyance, a distraction. I don't want to be inconvenienced. If God is truly sovereign, then there's no chance encounter. There's no just random person showing up. He's orchestrated the plans and the events of our lives day to day. Being a disciple of Jesus often involves us being inconvenienced. There must be a priority, an intentionality, a purposefulness. The gospel is never a convenient gospel that fits somewhere in the leftover time, space, and energies of our lives. That's what Jesus was trying to communicate. Thirdly and finally, urgent discipleship is demanding. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. One who is plowing their field with oxen has to keep their eyes laser focused ahead of them, lest they look to the left or right or behind, they will begin to plow crooked lines. And Jesus is saying, if you are going to come follow me, you must have a singular passion, a singular focus and dedication to look at me and not look to the left or right or behind you. And even this would-be disciple, I'll follow you, but first let me go back and say bye to my family. Jesus knew that if that were to happen, this person would not end up following. There was a sense of urgency. And Jesus says, keep your eyes fixed on me. It is demanding. It calls for a singular, daily, laser focus on the person, words, actions, and ministries of Jesus Christ himself daily. And so often we pride ourselves in being the most efficient and accomplished throughout the day in our crazy multitasking world and lives that we live in, especially during COVID. It was not that long ago when my wife, Kathy, was on an evening work call that I found myself doing the laundry, something on the stove, washing the dishes, keeping an eye on the three kids, all at the same time while streaming news through my AirPods, trying to catch up on the day's events. Craziness. I prided myself in trying to do six or seven things at once, and maybe somewhere I could try to squeeze in a little bit of Jesus with whatever time and energy I have left over. But Jesus reminds us in these three encounters and conversations that he is too important not to pay attention to. His words, his life, his power are far too precious to squeeze them into the convenient spaces and places of our lives. Leftovers as we multitask throughout the day. You see, if you take these three individuals that encounter Jesus, it's very revealing. The first one, Jesus reminds this would-be disciple that the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He's talking about his home, ultimate symbol of security and comfort in his life. The second, let me bury my father. He's talking about family and these precious relationships in our lives that we call our loved ones. And thirdly, Jesus gives an example from one's work life. No one who puts the hand to the plow and looks behind is fit for the kingdom of God. Home, family, work. Bible teacher James Edwards insightfully looks at this and says this, that property, home, family, vocation are life's ultimate obligations. If anything should qualify as a valid exception to Jesus' exclusive call to discipleship or as a postponement or modification of it, these should. Therein lie their danger and deception. For no reasons, no matter how worthy, can compensate for failing to accept the invitation to discipleship. We're not saying get rid of your home, cut off ties with your family, quit your jobs. We're not necessarily saying that. But there are times in our lives where the urgent call of discipleship to follow him comes, and we must respond with a sense of urgency, even in the midst of good things preoccupying our lives, like family, our homes, and work. So the question that I'd like to end with is, how does this message on urgent discipleship apply for those who already call themselves a disciple of Jesus? Not like these three who are prospective disciples, would-be disciples, but you already are one. I believe the call to urgent discipleship is not just a one-time shot or deal where you leave all and then become a Christian in the first place, but it is a daily call to look at Jesus in your lives, whether it's in a pandemic or not. Our urgent discipleship may call us to embrace an opportunity that God is putting right before you. You see, even though most of our lives are shut down and family vacations and all these things are on hold, the work of God's Spirit and His kingdom continues to march on. And even though we think that we're taking a break from everything, God's Spirit does not rest, and He's continually working powerfully during this time. Perhaps He's giving you an opportunity right before your very eyes that you need to embrace now. Perhaps there's a person, a relationship that needs to be pursued through your initiative, that He has brought this person into your life, a neighbor, a friend, a family member that needs to be pursued for the kingdom of God. Do not brush it aside or put it on hold. Do anything and everything in your powers to follow the voice of God in your discipleship to pursue that person. Some of us during this time of kind of kicking back and letting go have fallen or embraced habits that do not lead you closer to the light of Christ or the kingdom of God. And some of us have to have these influences, habits, addictions, broken. We often think I'm suffering and I deserve a little bit of this or that. You fill in the blank. But the Christian life and faith and discipleship is always moving, always dynamic. You move closer to Christ or you move away from Him. There is no such thing as stagnation and just being right there without going in one direction or the other. Is there a habit? Is there something that needs to be broken, repented of, turned from, in order for your discipleship to continue in the right direction, closer to God and His kingdom versus the other way? Don't put it on the back burner. Don't compromise and think it's not urgent. It is. For one thing always leads to another. Is there a season that God wants you to enter into? Is there a response that He is looking for in His leading of His Holy Spirit, His Word, in the circumstances of your life? Do not delay in responding to what God is doing in your life. It is urgent. If God is at work in your life, respond in active, obedient discipleship. That is how this applies to those who already consider themselves disciples of Jesus. And so I end with this. What is your next step in your discipleship journey? This does not mean you're living a busier life or a rushed life. Please don't walk away this morning that is what Pastor is talking about or God's word. No. But it does show us the supreme importance of Jesus' words and His ministry in our lives that often we do not give credence to. We do not submit to. In the busyness and the distractions of managing the many dynamics and smaller loves of our lives, it shows us the supreme importance of Jesus' voice and His words in our lives. Discipleship is urgent. It is hard. It is often inconvenient. But is it worth it to follow Him and know Him and realign your life to His? Yes. Because the question is, if not living for Jesus, then who or what else? If not Jesus, then who or what else? That, my friends and brothers and sisters, is what urgent discipleship is all about. Let's pray. Father, there is not an individual or family represented here this morning from First Service, for those watching online, that haven't been beat up by all that is taking place in time, these times of uncertainty during COVID. We thank you that though so many things are shut down and canceled and postponed, and it breaks our hearts, Lord. But we thank you that your Spirit and your Word are never shut down. Your pursuit of people and pursuit of us as your children, your disciples, never ends. And I believe you are powerfully at work in our lives for all who are listening here this morning. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your radical pursuit of us and your daily invitation to a discipleship that is urgent because it is so important. Lord, if there's anyone listening and hearing the words of Jesus and realizing how hard it is, but yet how true it is, has never committed their lives to Christ, would like to do so, Lord, I invite them to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I've lived a life selfishly for myself. I've had interest and curiosity, but today, this morning, I would like to become a true follower and disciple of Jesus. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for dealing for my sin, my tragedies, my mistakes. I receive you as Lord, Savior, and King, and I follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for your forgiveness and grace. And for the rest of us who are disciples already of Jesus, Lord, forgive us that often we have lived a very comfortable Christianity. We don't like to be inconvenienced. We don't like the demands. We don't like how hard it is. But thank you that you remind us that your voice and your call is the most important, even above work, family, home. And so thank you for that reminder, not because you are a bully in our lives, but because you are so good and because you're so gracious. If not you, Lord, what else or who else is it worth living for? To the one who is the good shepherd and the King of Kings, to the one who is our master, the one who is the greatest love of our life, proven on the cross, we once again resubmit our lives to follow you. So strengthen us, we pray, Lord. Help us to be reminded of how important discipleship is. Help us to turn from things that bring darkness into our life rather than the light of Jesus. Give us a passion to take risks for the kingdom of God even during a time of COVID. Help us to be bold. Help us to love, to share and reach people for you who are hurting so much in isolation and loneliness. We thank you for that reminder of the high call you have upon our lives. Give us your strength and grace because we need it, Lord. Thank you for sustaining us in this lifelong journey of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.